sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm sure you're wondering, is this a live show? Are we trapped? Did we get snowed in? I hope you're all safe. We are live. We are good to go. We will be live for the next 2 hours, and then Howie Carr will be live for 4 hours after that. So you have nothing to worry about as far as your...
Did Howie get snowed in?
Howie did not. I don't know. Do you think it's a little chillier there, though? You know how the people in Florida, they'll...
He was complaining Friday night that it was going to dip down to 72.
Oh, was he? What I would do for 72... Man, there's a lot of snow out there. I told my husband this morning he was getting out the snowplow, and I said, enjoy your free time, because once you're done with that, that's it. That's it for the day. That's the free play for the day, is being out there, Taylor. And I'm sure you have a lot of shoveling to do when you get home.
I think my father-in-law is snow blowing my driveway right now.
Wow. Well, good for you, Jack. Everyone, welcome to the show. We have a ton to go over. Obviously, very serious news today for us to cover. And I want to start with Minnesota. First, let me start by saying I hope you're all safe. Stay inside if you can. Stay warm. Check on if you got an elderly neighbor, if you got someone in your family, check on them. Make sure everyone's okay. And stay with us for the next 2 hours. Because like I said, huge news stories to cover. Alex Preti, a 37-year-old ICU nurse, got into a confrontation with ICE agents in Minneapolis over the weekend. That was on Saturday morning. It led to a shooting that left Preti dead. You'll notice I'm careful with my phrasing on this because there is going to be a full investigation, as per what President Trump told us this weekend, into whether or not the ICE officer in that case discharged his gun or acted inappropriately. We know he discharged his gun, but if there was anything inappropriate about it, if any tactical operations were not followed correctly. Now, leading up to this confrontation, a group of anti-ICE agitators, like the ones we saw on January 7th when Renee Good was shot, were blowing whistles and getting into confrontations with ICE agents. This is kind of just par for the course for all of these operations that are going on in Minneapolis. And the latest news, and we are going to break down a lot of different aspects of this story. It's a very emotional story. It's very emotionally charged, and it has people outraged. And so we're going to take it step by step. The latest part of this story is that Donald Trump is sending Tom Homan to Minneapolis, and he's going to oversee the enforcement operations that are ongoing in Minnesota. And as Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, put it, he's also going to oversee the fraud, which has now become barely a headline in a lot of these papers. The fraud, conveniently, is no longer being talked about anywhere. But this is notable. The sending of Tom Homan to Minnesota is notable because it would seem that, coupled with reports from Bill Malugin, which I'm going to get into momentarily, it would suggest that perhaps Donald Trump, and this is speculation, is not happy with the response from DHS's Kristi Noem and others, specifically relating to this shooting on Saturday, which has really taken over a lot of social media. It's getting a lot of different news headlines. And I wanted to read you this from Bill Malugin. It's a little bit lengthy, but I am going to try to get to most of it because I think it's important. It says, since yesterday's deadly shooting, so this was put out yesterday, since yesterday's deadly shooting in Minnesota, I've talked to more than half a dozen federal sources involved in immigration enforcement, including several in senior positions, who all tell me they have grown increasingly uneasy and frustrated with some of the claims and narratives DHS pushed in the aftermath of the shooting. Specifically, I'm told there is extreme frustration with DHS officials going on TV and putting out statements claiming that Alex Preti, this is the 37-year-old ICU nurse, was intending to conduct a massacre of federal agents or wanted to carry out maximum damage, even after numerous videos appeared to show those claims were inaccurate. While they say it was a terrible decision to show up with a gun and inject himself into a federal law enforcement operation, there is no indication Preddy was there to murder law enforcement, as videos appear to show he never drew his holstered firearm. Now, I know there are different debates about that, or whether or not maybe they thought he had another gun on him. So stick with me here. I'm just reading from Bill Malugin's tweet here. These sources say this messaging from DHS officials has been catastrophic from a PR and morale perspective, as it is eroding trust and credibility, comparing it to when Democrats falsely claimed the border was closed or that Haitians were being whipped at the border. Some of these sources have described DHS's response to the shooting as a case study on how to not do crisis PR. One said they are so fed up that they wish they could retire. Another said DHS is making the situation worse. And another added that DHS is wrong and we are losing this war. We are losing the base in the narrative. These sources all believe this is going to end up being what they call a bad shoot, a bleepy situation that happened in seconds, where agents likely heard gun. Then the disarmed firearm may have had an accidental discharge that spooked the agents and they shot. The agents do not have the luxury of multiple slow motion angles and had to make split second decisions. All of the sources support the mass deportation agenda, but have serious hesitations about the way it is being carried out and the messaging that comes with it. Many of the sources have expressed frustration that ICE is routinely blamed for the actions of Border Patrol, a completely separate agency. I reached out to DHS for comment on concerns that their rhetoric and comments have damaged their credibility. This is the statement they provided to Fox. We have seen a highly coordinated campaign of violence against our law enforcement. This individual committed a federal crime while armed as he obstructed an act of law enforcement operation. As with any situation that is evolving, we work to give swift, accurate information to the American people as more information becomes available. So a lot to take in there. And some parts of this I agree with, some parts of it I disagree with. But this is, I do trust, and Taylor, feel free to chime in at any point here, because you can also push back on me here. I do trust Bill Malugin. I feel as though he has a lot of sources inside DHS. He has a lot of sources that have been on the ground, boots on the ground, and he has been covering this in a really unbiased, no-filter way since the Biden administration. This is not a guy who I think is trying to tear apart the Trump administration by kind of like sowing discontent or fake stories. That's number one. So that's why I do take this and I really consider it. Then we have this announcement that Trump is going to send in Homan, the border czar, who he's hoping will be able to take charge of the situation. Now, you might read all this and say, this is exactly what the Democrats want. They want Trump to cave to the same voices who said nothing when millions upon millions of illegal aliens entered the country. But I do believe this report. It's from Bill Malugin. As I said, I think he's credible. And also, I think there is something to be said about being conscientious of public perception, even if you think it is misguided. And that's a very important distinction here. What do I mean by that? There are people who look at these tense and needlessly chaotic and tragic situations. It's tragic that this 37-year-old ICU nurse, who by the reports of what I'm seeing of the work he did as a nurse, was a great nurse, and it's awful that he is no longer with us. And I feel awful for his family. I pray for his family. I pray for his friends. I'm sure they're angry. I'm sure they're upset. And I'm not negating any of that or minimizing any of that. But what I'll tell you here is these are needlessly chaotic situations. These are preventable deaths that are happening. And you can deduce that by not only looking at the situations, but by where they are happening. They are happening in a handful of sanctuary cities and not in the rest of the country. And that perhaps the reason most of us, most of the people listening to my show, can deduce that the reason that is happening in those places is not because Democrats are okay with deporting the worst of the worst, which they have told us time and time again, always around election time, when they're trying to walk back everything that they're saying, when they're trying to walk back every stand they've ever had. They always say, well, of course, we want illegal, vicious criminals off the streets. Am I right, Taylor? Is that a constant refrain that I'm having you pull from these Democrats?
Yeah.
Every time they get close to an election?
Leadership, maybe not the protesters, but leadership always defers to Yeah, we agree with you know, border security, and we want safe cities and all of that. They always
yeah,
backtrack.
We don't want these vicious criminals on the street. Of course, if someone's really bad. And Jacob Frey even said, we work with them. We're helping them get these vicious criminals off the street, which is not true. But that is something they always go back to, right around election time, right around when they know they're going to lose the middle America, or, you know, the moderate voter. They say, we all agree on that. Of course, we can all agree on this. But what you're seeing right now is that we can't, because unlike what they try to walk back every election cycle, they actually do not believe in strong borders. They actually do not believe in enforcing immigration law. And that is why in these specific areas, I think it's like 9 counties around the United States of America, these riots are happening. This violence is ensuing. And there are people who are able to understand that these riots are getting violent and that the politicians in charge of protecting its citizens are more than happy to incite and stoke and encourage this violence if it means, and I'm going to say this because it's hard not to notice, if it means not talking about the £9 billion fraud elephant in the room. They are more than happy to make Nazi comparisons. Tim Walz today talking about Anne Frank. They are more than happy to do the very irresponsible thing of egging this on and encouraging this. And it barely needs to be egged on, because a lot of this stuff is organized. And a lot of these agitators are either paid or they're armed or they're trained. So they don't really need to be egged on. And yet they are being egged on by Jacob Frey, by Tim Walz, by others. So there are a bunch of people who are able to figure all that out, who are looking at this. And it's similar to 2020, where you go, why is this happening in specific areas? Why, if Democrats are okay with getting out child rapists and drug dealers, why don't they do what's being done in Texas? Why don't they just allow ICE to come in, extract these people? And why don't they allow law enforcement to collaborate with ICE and avoid these very deadly, scary, sad, tragic situations? But then you have a lot of people, and I know, and I say this because I know the people like this, who are not bad people. They're not deranged. They might be gullible. They might be susceptible and succumb to this avalanche of one-sided media coverage. They might not know where to look for sources, so they just run with the infographic they see on Instagram. And you can think to yourself, well, that's their problem. And I do that sometimes. I'm like, well, that's your problem. You didn't do any reading. You posted the story about the 5-year-old boy being detained. You didn't read that they tried to give him back to his mom. The mom didn't want him, and the dad fled, allegedly. That's what we were told. You didn't do any of that. So you just posted the first thing you saw. And you can think that's their problem, but it's our problem too. It's our problem too if we lose track or we lose grasp of this narrative so much so that the people who are not bad people and who might not be even consider themselves liberals fall into this and it becomes the truth to them. And that's what we saw in 2018 with the Time magazine cover and separating the families. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you see it and you understand it, because you just want to say to you almost want to say to yourself, pull ICE out of there. And it's like the Mamdani effect, Taylor, where you go, fine, if this is what you want, this is what you want. If you want the child rapists, if you want the murderers to continue to operate and continue to, yeah,
leave,
to run
leave
wild,
them to them own, their own devices.
That's a tempting thing, and it's easy for me to say as a radio host, and it's easy for other, you know, top leaders to say, well, maybe Trump should pull them out of there. Maybe Trump should get ICE out of there. Maybe, you know, they have to decide if this is really what they want. But it's a lot harder to do if you're the president, and it should be a lot harder to do if you're the president. If you're the president and you are acting on behalf of the country and not on behalf of people who voted for you, not on behalf of the red states or the red counties, or the Governor DeSantis's, or the Governor Abbott's, but you are operating as a president of the United States of America, that's not something that should come easy to you. It shouldn't come easy to you to say, we'll leave them to their own devices. This is what they want. Let Minneapolis burn. Let the anti-ICE agitators tear the signs off of the hotels and, you know, let them go crazy. We'll pull ICE out and things will just go back to the way. It's not the way Trump operates. He is president of the entire, you know, Biden said that a lot, that he was president, not just of Democrats, but of Republicans too. But he never really meant it. Trump does mean it. He wants to see the country thrive. And the more I see of what's going on here and the momentum that the Democrats are getting off of this, which I find really sick, because I do think it's tragic that these people have died now. And I, when I see the momentum and kind of the glee in which it's being picked up by the left, as, you know, they're running to the cameras. Keith Ellison, you couldn't catch this guy near a camera, and now he's running to the camera to talk about this because he knows it's a distraction from his own incompetence, and they know that this is the only way they gain momentum is through tragedy. The only way they gain momentum is through... And one other thing, and then I'll go to break here because Taylor's going to kill me. But I'll go to break here in just a second. I have to mention, though, there is this knee-jerk reaction, and I've fallen for it so many times over the years. I can admit that. Where you look at a situation and you go, well, I wanted there to be Border Patrol, and I wanted them to enforce the laws, and I want, but do they really have to do it like this? Do they really have to? And the answer is no, they don't really have to do it like this. The reason they're doing it like this is because the left is organizing it and designing it to be this way. If you're saying to yourself, well, I wanted them to deport vicious illegal aliens, but I don't like the way they're going about it. Well, they're not going about it like this in Texas, because in Texas, you don't have organized protesters or agitators who are blowing whistles in their face and obstructing traffic. So the Obama way of doing it, where everyone goes, oh, the deporter in chief did this, and the ICE raids were so nice that CNN was covering them and you know, slobbering all over Obama about what a good job he was doing. Yeah. That's because they had no reason to drum up this kind of demonization of our Border Patrol and our ICE agents. And now they do. And so that's the playbook. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. We'll take your calls on this. This is The Grace Curley Show.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We have an update here from Trump on Truth Social, and I'm just going to read the entire thing. He said, Governor Tim Walz called me with the request to work together with respect to Minnesota. It was a very good call, and we actually seem to be on a similar wavelength. I told Governor Walz that I would have Tom Homan call him and that we are looking for any and all criminals they have in their possession. The governor very respectfully understood that, and I will be speaking to him in the near future. He was happy that Tom Homan was going to Minnesota, and so am I. We have had such tremendous success in D.C., Memphis, Tennessee, and New Orleans, and virtually every other place that we have touched. And even in Minnesota, crime is way down, but both Governor Walz and I want to make it better. President Donald J. Trump. Now, when I see this, I think that if it's true, and I'm not suggesting that that's not what Tim Walz told Donald Trump, but I don't think a lot of Democrats can make good on what they tell Trump or what they really know is best for their state. I think they have to kind of run everything through this focus group of angry white liberal women to see if they're going to do the responsible thing. So whether or not he actually does that is one thing. But the other thing is, how needless was all of this uproar? How needless is the fact that this young nurse is now dead because of these insane agitators and the insane politicians in Minnesota who weren't telling people to obey law enforcement, to not and not obstruct them? And if you're going to show up to a protest with a gun, which I believe in Minnesota you have every right to do, you can show up with a protest armed, but you don't start having a contentious back and forth with law enforcement agents. And it breaks my heart that a lot of this stuff could have been avoided if governors like Tim Walz didn't care more about either saving their dwindling political careers, which his is just on a torpedo to the ground. His is being flushed down the toilet. So that's what he's doing. It's very obvious. Or boosting their chances at, you know, hitting the national stage, which I think is more of what the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, is trying to do. And so in both situations, I really find that despicable. And I think a really good way, because when I saw this note from Trump, I thought, well, why did it take him so long? Why did Walz take so long to finally agree to this? And I thought the Babylon Bee had a great headline today. Tim Walz says he will do anything to keep Minnesota residents safe, except cooperate with federal law enforcement. So yeah, now weeks later, he's finally changing his tune. We'll be back. We got more to talk about. Stay with us.
Grace Curley Show is on the air.
It is a winter wonderland outside today. I know there's very serious stuff in the news, but that doesn't mean we can't hit some of the lighter fare. The Patriots won last night. What a game that was. A lot of slipping and sliding towards the end there. It was really crazy. They beat the Broncos, and they're going to the Super Bowl. Taylor, I didn't think we'd be seeing this for a long time. I mean, we got so spoiled back in the day, and I was okay with that. I was like, okay, we were very cognizant of the great times when we were in them, and I thought, hey, maybe I'll be like 70 years old the next time the Patriots are good again. That's okay. We had our run. But to be back in it this quickly, whew, it feels good.
Yeah, we're even spoiled with the brevity of the dry spell. I mean, how many years did our forefathers go without seeing the Patriots amount to anything? We saw them go all the way to the top many times. And, what, 6 years it's been where it's been, you know, whatever. But to have this quick turnaround, amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really fun to watch.
My five-year-old son did want the orange team, as he called them, to win and was quite disappointed. Yes.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly, so contact him at localsilvermint.com. So a lot of different reports out about what Trump is considering doing in Minnesota, but that was before we got that Truth Social where he informed everyone that he did just talk to Governor Tim Walz and that Tim Walz is happy that Tom Homan, the border czar, is heading to Minnesota. Not something I ever thought I'd read, and I'll wait to see if Tim Walz purports himself in a way that shows he's happy about it, because he certainly has said one thing before and acted in another way. But it's also coming on the heels of James Comer, the House Oversight Committee chairman. And I want to read you this statement because I like Comer. I like a lot of the work that he's done as far as Hunter Biden goes. Didn't really amount to anything, but I think he's someone who is, you know, knee deep in a lot of different scandals embroiling the Democrats. So I have respect for him there. And Taylor, I want your reaction to this. I thought this was a pretty sloppy statement from Comer, and I was surprised he made this, just because when you're dealing with what we're dealing with in Minnesota, which is high-stakes situations, you have law enforcement agents being demonized, you have American citizens being shot and killed, there's a lot going on here. And I think you have to know as much as you can about what happened, and you have to phrase things in a way that is not going to run counter to your party. And you don't want to undermine the president of the United States. This is what Comer said. He said, if I were President Trump, I would almost think about, okay, if the mayor and the governor are going to put our ICE officials in harm's way and there's a chance of losing more, you know, innocent lives or whatever, then maybe go to another city and let the people of Minneapolis decide, do we want to continue to have all these illegals? Are we going to allow our governor, attorney general, and mayor to get away with this? He told Fox News Sunday Morning Futures. I thought that was a pretty, again, just sloppy way of putting it, where Trump's going to look at Minneapolis and say, okay, well, you guys have, you know, blown enough whistles and obstructed enough law enforcement operations, so now we'll just leave you to it, and good luck, and you can blame your governor. I just don't think that's something I might say, Taylor, as like a host of a radio show, but I don't think that's how actual leaders should be operating. And Comer, being the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, I just would think he would know more than that.
It's a bad take
to suggest that.
It's a bad take. It projects weakness on not just the Republican Party, but the Trump administration. It bends the rules. You know, we're saying get all criminal illegal aliens out, but I guess these ones in Minneapolis are okay to stay because the people there don't want them out. That's not how it works. You've got to carry out the law equally.
Yeah, no one is above the law. And I would mention here that it's kind of also feeding into this narrative that ICE is at fault for all of the chaos, and they're going in here and they're just terrorizing people on the streets, when in actuality, you can think what happened on Saturday is tragic, and I've said it already 17 times on the show, I do think it's tragic, but you can also understand that a lot of this stuff is by design. A lot of these protesters and agitators are being trained to sow this kind of chaos. And in fact, I have a sound cut here from Fox News. This is Alexis McAdams. Take a listen to what she had to say about these protesters in Minneapolis. It really fights back on this narrative that these are just people out there holding signs. It's a lot more complicated than that. And take a listen to cut eight.
What sticks out to me from covering these protests here for the past several days in Minneapolis is just how organized these protesters are. We talked about the ICE watch group. These people have spotters, Sean, all over the city. So they see who pulls in and out of the federal building, whether they're ICE agents or not. They want to track you down. They want to put you in a database. And then it's shared, according to DHS sources, through signal chat. So that's what sticks out to me about this. They're angry, they're motivated, and they have a message for these ICE agents that they don't want them in the city of Minneapolis. And I think it's important to point out, too, as you have, when you're talking about who these neighbors are, I asked those protesters, you're here to protect your neighbors. We hear it from the governor. We hear it from the mayor of Minneapolis. Who are the neighbors? I asked a few of the protesters. You here to protect the guy who DHS says was in the country illegally that is wanted for sodomy, for murder? And they say, no, that is not true. They're taking, you know, American citizens into custody. So no matter what you say, no matter what the facts are from DHS or from whatever side, you know, they don't want to hear it. So that's what we've been dealing with on the ground. Things do escalate. And then 1 minute, it's okay. You blink and it's a different story. The smell of tear gas ongoing here in Minneapolis, Sean.
Now, what she just said there, Alexis McAdams, about how it doesn't matter what you say. This is the kind of world that we're now in, where people have their sources. And see, for me, I would trust a source like DHS. I would trust a source like the Border Patrol agents, the men and women who have boots on the ground. But a lot of these people, their sources are, you know, agitators with cell phones or people with big Instagram followings or celebrities like Ariana Grande. That is, for a lot of people, that is the source they're going with. They're reposting these things from their sources. And when you have two people living in two different realities and there's nothing I can say to you, there's no fact. There's no information about these illegal alien criminals that's going to change your mind. In your mind, Trump is Hitler, ICE is the Gestapo, the illegal aliens are Anne Frank, according to Tim Walz. When people start to believe that, I don't know what you do in that case. I don't think there's any sort of dialogue, Taylor, that's going to walk people off of that ledge. I think that that is the kind of bleep storm where you're going to see more of this violence, because if you convince people that they're fighting Hitler and they're fighting the SS, what they're going to do is scary. What they're going to do is not only harm others, but put themselves in harm's way and just create a situation that welcomes tragedy. And that part about not being able to convince people or not being able to inform people of the facts, no matter what you tell them, I think also comes into play here with the MPLS police chief, Brian O'Hara, because listen to what he said on CBS's Face the Nation. This is cut 11.
From what you have seen in the public space and heard from federal officials, is there any evidence that you know of that Preddy was assaulting the federal officers as the Border Patrol chief claims?
Well, I've seen the videos just as thousands of people around the country have, and the videos speak for themselves. I think it's deeply concerning, the things that are being said. This is an individual that was a city resident. It appears that he was present, exercising his First Amendment rights to record law enforcement activity, and also exercising his Second Amendment rights to lawfully be armed in a public space in the city. So I think very obviously there are serious questions that are being raised. And I think the greater issue is, even if there is an investigation that ultimately proves that at the time of the shooting it was legally justified, I don't think that even matters at this point, because there is so much outrage and concern around what is happening in the city.
I think probably without realizing it, he's just revealed a lot about the way this is all operating now, the way that these agitators are operating, where you look at something and you say, even if it's legally justified, even if it comes out after an investigation, and there should be an investigation, that this was legally justified, it doesn't matter, because we've already riled people up enough and we've already demonized ICE enough that it's not really going to make a difference. That's a problem. When people are looking at videos and replaying videos and blowing whistles in the faces of agents who were under an incredible amount of stress. And then, boom, something horrible happens, and you turn around and you go, well, all the details of and the context really don't matter. The point is that people are angry, and that's kind of what the goal is here, I think, is to get people very angry and to cause this kind of bedlam, and it's working. And I've seen a lot of posts over the weekend, and but before, Taylor, I go into it, what is the poll question? Because I believe I did read the...
You read the sponsorship. We have okay. not read the poll question. Today's okay. poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what should President Trump do in regards to Minneapolis? Invoke the Insurrection Act, pull ICE out, or send in even more feds?
I'm going to say, depending on how... Now things have changed a little bit because of this call with Tim Walz. But if I was just going based off this morning and all the facts I had, I would say invoke the Insurrection Act. I would say that these ICE agents, and it's not to say that there shouldn't be investigations and that things can't improve, but I don't think it's fair to put these ICE agents in a position where they're playing not only enforcement agents, but they're also playing cops and traffic cops and trying to keep calm these protesters who are in their faces agitating them. I don't think it's ever a good idea to put people in a losing position with no backup and with their lives at risk and then kind of just waiting for this to boil over so that everyone can point to these ICE officers and say, look it, he's a murderer, or look what this person did. I think you have to, if you're going to send them into these places, you have to send them in and you have to give them every resource and every opportunity to have success in those areas. And success looks like extracting child rapists and murderers from the streets of Minneapolis. It does not look like what we're seeing right now.
61% say invoke the Insurrection Act. 26% say send in even more feds. 13% say pull ICE out.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of posts over the weekend, and I told Taylor this. I said it's amazing how the similarities to 2020, you could draw a lot of different parallels, but one of them for me is just the amount of infographics and the amount of people. And now I'm also seeing like social media influencers who I follow, they're posting kind of vague posts, and it's almost like marking themselves clear. Like, oh, I posted, don't be mad at me. It's very similar to Black Lives Matter. I posted, don't be mad at me. I posted about it. You know, I'm on the good side. Please don't cancel me. I'm okay. I haven't seen it in this kind of way since 2020. And a lot of the posts and a lot of the narratives have to do with it's not too late to change your mind if you voted for Trump. This is sick. This is disgusting. If you voted for this, how can you stand this? How can you look at yourself in the mirror? And I'm here to tell those people, both sides are horrified by what they're seeing in Minneapolis. You're not the only ones who have outrage. We just see the causes of this pressure cooker differently. When I see deaths that could have been prevented, whether it's Alex Preddy's death or Renee Good's death, I see an environment that was ripe for chaos. I see an opportunistic mayor, Jacob Frey, who I want to talk about here, who's more concerned with his profile and dropping F-bombs and appeasing the agitators and getting out his left-wing talking points and boosting his, you know, maybe potential to be president someday, than he is about trying to secure a city and not allowing these protests to get out of control. He seems far more concerned with his own agenda than he is about allowing local law enforcement to stabilize the situation on the ground by cooperating with ICE. And also by telling these agitators who have been obstructing traffic and blowing whistles and storming churches, there's no attempt by these leaders to tell them to stop. Instead, they're being told by governors like Tim Walz that they're proud of them. And so now you have these demonstrators, these agitators, these paid protesters who are ripping down hotel signs. And it works out really well for people like Tim Walz, who are trying to distract from massive fraud. So I think that in that respect, I understand completely. There's nothing confusing about that to me, why he has been welcoming this, why he has been instigating this kind of tragedy. And in the specific case of Alex Preddy, what I have been reading is it seems as though there are a few different angles here being taken by this administration, which is never a good thing. You should always be on the same page. And like that Bill Malugin tweet said, I think DHS has handled this in a way that Trump is not happy with, and hence why he's sending in Tom Holman. And we're going to break this down even further when we come back, because there's also this conversation about the other places where this is not happening. I mean, you have Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. He's explaining how not only are they cooperating, but they're trying to help. They're not just... There are states, by the way, where they're not looking at this as, oh, okay, I guess we won't get in your way if you come and take our criminals. They're saying, hey, how can we help you locate these criminals and get them out of here so we don't have deaths like Jocelyn Nungari or Lakin Riley or Rachel Morin or all of these murders that happened over the last 4 years that all of these social justice warriors, and I know some people have good intentions. I know I don't want to glom everyone into the same category, but a lot of these people were silent for 4 years as millions of illegal aliens poured into this country. A lot of these bleeding hearts who are now getting on their social media or getting on their soapbox and telling me what a bad person I am had no sympathy or no empathy, or at least not as loud empathy. Now we're getting very loud, very noisy empathy, which is fine, but it was silent for 4 years. And so don't point at me and start suggesting that I don't see things as sympathetically as you do, when a lot of the stuff that Trump is now doing, a lot of the stuff that these law enforcement agents are now doing, is because for 4 years, you voted in a guy who opened up the borders and allowed all of these people in. A lot of this stuff is just trying to make right what Joe Biden made wrong. And the media is going to try to get you to forget that. And they're going to depend on weak-kneed conservatives saying, well, I wanted this, but I didn't want it like this. The reason it's happening like this is because that is how Jacob Frey and Governor Tim Walz and a lot of these organizations want it to happen. And it's sad because there's a lot of people who are now dead because of the way this has been designed, because of the way this has been encouraged by leaders in Minnesota. There's no other way I think you can describe it. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Stay with us.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. A lot of people are seeing this decision by Trump to send in Tom Homan. Now, the administration is saying he's in a unique position. He can drop everything. He can go to Minneapolis, and that's not a position that Kristi Noem is in. So they are trying to push back on this idea that Trump was disappointed in the way Kristi Noem handled it by suggesting that Alex Preti was ready to commit a massacre against these ICE agents. And there's also a lot of feedback from conservatives. There's kind of this internal debate happening, which I never have a problem with debate happening amongst conservatives. I actually think it's really healthy, about whether or not Trump is capitulating here if he decides that, hey, we'll take these vicious illegal aliens off the street and you can help us, and then we're going to take ICE out of here. It's too contentious. Which really, if they had just obeyed the law from the beginning, if Tim Walz and Jacob Frey had collaborated with ICE, this wouldn't be an issue. But I really hesitate to criticize Trump when he switches gears at any point, because I'm not a fan of sticking with something just because you think it's right, even if it's not working. And sometimes that's just politics is the art of the possible. Sometimes you're doing something and you can defend it all day long. And I'm not suggesting they can't defend this all day long, but if it is not yielding success, sometimes a change in tactic is needed. Sometimes that means bring in Tom Homan. This is something that he's uniquely qualified to handle, and he's going to do this in a way different than Kristi Noem, and that might work. I'm all about new ideas and new changes. We'll be right back.